RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome to our English Bulletin program. In today's edition, we present you the news. News from across the country, today in history, highlight of the week, and news in brief. We will continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. Then we will end our program with Listener's Mailbag. That's our program for today, listener. And now let's stand by with the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first headlines. Indonesian former president says Jokowi's mental revolution is different from Marxism's. Indonesia reaps benefits from Asia-Africa conference event. Those are headlines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dolat Pani. In discussion held at the Jakarta National University on Saturday, April 25, former President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono said that the mental revolution initiated by President Joko Widodo is different from that believed by Marxism followers. Yudhoyono said the mental revolution term was popular in the 18th century when German philosopher Karl Marx raised the issue. Karl Marx said the proletarians must reform their thinking and fight to topple oppressive structure. Meanwhile, Susilo said that mental revolution initiated by Jokowi was aimed to change people's character without bloodshed. Yudhoyono reminded that a revolution involves a massive fundamental change and sometimes armed conflict, while the definition of mental is related to mindset. The 60th anniversary of the Asian-African Conference, AAC, gave Indonesia advantages starting from geopolitical until economic aspects. International relations analyst from Pajajaran University in Bandung, Teuku Rijasa, said, politically, Indonesia has proven itself as one of few countries that are consistent in adopting the UN Charter. He said to Tempo in Bandung on Friday, Indonesia can be considered as one of few countries that are also consistent in adopting Dasar Sila Bandung. According to Teuku, Dasar Sila Bandung is a global cooperation that is very ideal seen from the implementation of the UN Charter. Through the AAC and three documents that were produced, he said, Indonesia has consistently fought the anti-colonialism principle. Economically, Teuku said, the event has proven that the South-South cooperation that has been agreed on can be immediately realized. He also said that after the South-South cooperation is agreed, embassies of Asian and African countries have directly contacted regional governments and industries in Indonesia to have concrete cooperation. The Trade Ministry's Trade Defense Director, Oke Nurwan, said on Friday, Indonesia may file a complaint with the World Trade Organization, WTO, over Turkey's anti-dumping measures on yarn, which have affected a number of Indonesian textile firms. Turkey's trade authority last week extended higher levies on Indonesian yarn of man-made staple fibers, which are to apply for 5 years following a recent review. The duties, ranging from 25 cents to 40 cents for each kilogram of yarn, have affected more than 20 local firms, including major textile manufacturers PT Indorama and PT Sri Rezeki Isman. Oke Nurwan said that a complaint might be lodged by local producers who rejected accusations that they were exporting their products at a lower price than usual. Besides Indonesia, the expanded tariffs, particularly at higher levels, are likely to impact other producers, including China and India. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesia's Attorney General's Office has notified 9 foreigners and Indonesian convicted of drug trafficking that their executions will be carried out within days. Spokesman Tony Supontana said the 10 convicts were removed to isolation cells on Saturday and given a 72-hour execution notice. It indicates they will face the firing squad at the earliest on Tuesday or Wednesday. The executions will take place in Besi Prison on Nusa Kambangan Island. The prisoners are 4 Nigerian men, 2 Australian men, a Filipino woman, and 1 man each from Brazil and France. However, the Frenchman, Serge Atlaoui, is still awaiting a legal appeal over the procedures in his request for clemency. The planned execution have triggered an international outcry, but Indonesia says the punishment is part of the country's drugs emergency. State-owned enterprises minister Rini M. Sumarno has asked regional government heads to give sanctions to traders who sell refined sugar to the consumer market as it would harm the interests of sugarcane farmers. The minister said in a working visit to Rendang Sugar Factory in Kudus, Central Java on Saturday, firm actions must be taken against them to prevent the circulation of refined sugar in open market. The minister said she had coordinated with the Ministry of Trade in dealing with the refined sugar, which was only for food and beverage industries. Regional government heads who find refined sugar in the market can directly take actions against the dealers. Taking these actions will benefit sugarcane farmers as it could prevent the fall of farmers' canned sugar prices. Several farmers who had a dialogue with the minister also hoped that the government would take stern measures against traders who leak their sugar into the consumer market. This kind of sugar could not be distributed to open market because they are only designed for food and beverage industries. Amid high expectations among investors, the economic reality in Indonesia is less heartening. With analysts predicting further growth slowdown in the economy on weak consumption and underperforming investment. Indonesia's economy is likely to see further deceleration with gross domestic product GDP growth likely to slip below 5% in the first semester, which would be the lowest in 6 years, according to estimates from BNP Paribas, Mandiri Sekuritas, and OCBC Bank. Ardian Taloputra, the head of economic research at Mandiri Sekuritas, the slowdown might derive from muted consumption and weaker than expected investment, in addition to the fact that some of the government's spending projects have yet to be realized. The last time Indonesia's economic growth fell below 5% was in the third quarter of 2009, when the economy expanded by a mere 4.1%, as it felt the pinch of weak external demand stemming from the financial crisis in the United States. Well, listener, that was the news.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back with me, Rahma, in our weekly segment, News from Across the Country, which presents you various interesting events from across the country during the week. Listener, the first news is from Polewali Mandar Regency, West Sulawesi. Hundreds of children and teenagers participated in Saving the Earth by learning how to plant mangrove. It was held to commemorate Earth Day, which falls on April 22nd. Mangrove planting was done along the beach in Baju Sub-District, Binuang Polewali Mandar District, on Wednesday afternoon, April 22nd. The participants, guided by environmental activists and forestry service officers, look excited to save the beach and marine biota from rob flood threat. In 3 hours, hundreds of children and teenagers who join Altar English Club in Polewali Mandar could plant 1,000 seeds of mangrove. Listener, now we move to Cibinong District, Bogor, West Java. Minister of Environment and Forestry, Siti Nurbaya, made small absorption holes, or locally known as biopori, with Bogor region on the occasion of 5 million biopori holes in Bogor Regency, West Java. Biopori are small holes made on the soil surface to absorb water. According to Siti Nurbaya, biopori holes are beneficial, especially in Bogor. Minister Siti Nurbaya said biopori holes movement is very good to reduce landslide and erosion. The minister wants that biopori holes program to be equal in the entire Indonesia. Biopori, Siti stated, could maintain natural ecosystem balance and become alternative place to make compost fertilizer. Listener, the last news is from Bantul Regency, Yogyakarta. The local government set Gua Cemara Beach as turtle conservation area to preserve the habitat of the protected animal. Head of Coastal People Empowerment Section at Bantul Marine and Fisheries Service, Isti Wasono, said on Wednesday, April 22nd, to promote tourism attraction and preserve turtle conservation area in the beach, the service invites some groups of people concerned about environment, like NGOs and universities. He added that in the future, Gua Cemara Beach will be equipped with supporting facilities like outbound art stage, swimming pool, fish culinary kiosk, agropolitan, and fish auction place. All right, listener, that ends news from across the country from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Rahma. Thanks for listening.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Meet you again in Today in History from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. I'm Dalot Pane. We begin with the event on April 26, 1959. Ki Hajar Dewantoro died. R.M. Suwardi Suryaningrat, or Ki Hajar Dewantoro, is known as the father of Indonesian education. He is the founder of Taman Siswa, an educational institution that provided an opportunity for the indigenous to be able to acquire the right of education like the aristocracy and the Netherlands. Ki Hajar Dewantoro also active in politics by joining the Buryutomo, then set up Indonesia Partij as the first political party wing of Indonesian nationalism on December 25, 1912, with his two colleagues, Dois Dekker and Dr. Cipto Mangunkusumo. Ki Hajar Dewantoro also initiated the establishment of the Committee Bumi Putra in 1913 as a protest against Dutch plan to commemorate its independence in the colony. He died on April 26, 1959 at Yogyakarta. Moved to the event of April 26, 1986, the Chernobyl disaster. Chernobyl nuclear reactor accident is the worst nuclear reactor accident in history. On April 26, 1986, at 1:23 a.m. local time, reactor number 4 at the Chernobyl nuclear power plant, located in the Soviet Union, in the near of Pripyat, Ukraine, exploded. As a result, a large amount of radioactive particles dispersed into the atmosphere in the entire area of the Western Soviet Union and Europe. The nuclear disaster is considered the worst nuclear accident in history and is one of two accidents are classified in level 7 on the International Nuclear Event Scale. Thousands of people had to be evacuated from the city. We end with April 26, 2000. The World Intellectual Property Day was first celebrated. World Intellectual Property Day is celebrated every April 26 and started in 2000. The initiators are the World Intellectual Property Organization, or WIPO. This celebration is intended to raise awareness on patents, copyright, trademarks, and design. An idea originally appeared in September 1998 in the Assembly of WIPO members.
Then on April 7, 1999, Director General of National Algerian Institute for Industrial Property proposed the need for an international day to commemorate the intellectual property rights. The proposal was approved by WIPO in October 1999. April 26 is chosen because it refers to the Convention on the Establishment of the World Intellectual Property Organization. Well, listener, that was Today in History over RRI World Service in Jakarta.
The Week Spotlight presents Top Issue of the Week.
Listener, this is Highlight of the Week from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, highlighting the 60th Asian African Conference, which is just over. Listener, Indonesian nation and Asian African nations commemorated the 60th Asian African Conference on April 24th. The conference, which was first held in 1955, brought wide impact to countries in the two continents, particularly in terms of demand on justice, welfare, and independence. The Asian African Conference commemoration was participated in by more than 106 countries, and 30 of them were represented by the heads of states and 80 ministers or special envoys. In the closing speech in the peak Asian African Conference on Thursday, April 23rd, President Joko Widodo said that participants of Asian African Conference have agreed three important declarations that become reference for Asian African countries.
Dan dalam konferensi ini kita sepakat untuk menggelorakan kembali inti perjuangan selatan-selatan, yaitu.
In this conference, we agree to boost South-South core. Namely, we agree to form peace-maintaining center network in the two regions to facilitate cooperation on capacity improvement. We all condemn extremism and terrorism in the name of religion. We also encourage religious and cultural dialogue. Meanwhile, in the speech of the peak 60th Asian African Conference 2015 at Gedung Merdeka in Bandung, West Java on Friday, April 24th, President Joko Widodo said, "Spirit that has been shown by Asian African leaders in the past should be flared up by the current leaders of the two continents."
Pada peringatan Konferensi Asia Afrika ke-60 ini,
in the 60th Asia African Conference commemoration, I would like to call on Bandung spirit. Let's continue the struggle of our leaders 60 years ago. We have to increase understanding each other and realize world peace. Any kind of violence must be stopped. The independence of Palestine must be fought. President of Republic of Zimbabwe, Robert Mugabe, said in his speech in the peak of the 60th commemoration of Asian African Conference that strong cooperation between Asian African countries is needed to realize agreement which has been forged between countries in Asia Africa to give benefit for people in the two continents. In the meantime, Palestinian Prime Minister Rami Hamdallah said there are three important documents produced in the Asian African Conference. One of them is recommendation on the independence of Palestine. Therefore, it is highly important for Palestinian nation. On behalf of Palestinian president and Palestinian people, Palestinian Prime Minister expressed thanks for the conference organized by the Indonesian government to support the independence of Palestine. Meanwhile, in his speech, Vice President of Venezuela, Jorge Arreaza, who came as observer from South America, reminded all countries in Asia and Africa of neocolonialism danger. According to him, neocolonialism appears through capital monopoly practice, namely the use of international financial system to keep dominating people in the world. And listener, that ends Highlight of the Week from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Rahma, thanks for listening.
Here is a weekend review that informs you the information on what's happening during this week. I'm Dalat Pane, stay tuned. Indonesia is calling on Asian African nations to establish maritime ties, as Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi said. The 60th commemoration of the Asian African Conference targeted, among others, the new Asia-Africa Strategic Partnership, which would be realized through maritime ties initiated by Indonesia. The new Asia-Africa Strategic Partnership is among the three results of the Asia-Africa Conference sought to produce, besides the Bandung message and the support for Palestine's independence. Retno sat on Sunday the discussion on the AEC would renew the tangible cooperation of the NAASP. Retno explained the new NAASP documents would allow Asian African countries to engage in more intensive structure and systematic cooperation. On Monday, Indonesian President Joko Widodo has emphasized the need for reform in the United Nations to overcome several regional crises believed to have happened due to global injustice. He made the statement during an interview with Antara journalists on the sidelines of the ongoing Asia-Africa Conference 60th anniversary commemoration at the State Palace in Jakarta Monday. President Jokowi said that Indonesia indeed needs a global balance. He said, "What Indonesia has seen so far are global injustice. It is true that 20% of the world's population in rich countries use 70% of natural resources, so a new order is needed that will balance the interests of all countries," the president said. With regard to problems in the Middle East, the government thinks the UN should act faster so that no country may use its forces to enter another country without a mandate from United Nations. Some heads of states attended the 24th World Economic Forum for East Asia in Jakarta Monday. The forum discussed some problems in the region recently. It was attended by members of the World Economic Forum, Philip Roesler, Prime Minister of Cambodia, Samdak Techno Hun Sen, and Deputy Prime Minister of Vietnam Nguyen Xuan Phuc. Indonesian President Joko Widodo, in his welcome speech, said human as the most precious asset in the earth must be able to change his and her paradigm in order to boost the economy. Meanwhile, Deputy Prime Minister of Vietnam Nguyen Xuan Phuc noted that there are two regional trade mechanisms which were negotiated in the Trans-Pacific Partnership, including members of ASEAN and Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, including 10 ASEAN members. He said, "Those must not have been confrontative, but they must mutually complete it." Asia-Africa should increase cooperation, especially in the economic and trade sector. It was stated by the Indonesian President Joko Widodo in his opening speech on the Asian-African Business Summit Tuesday in Jakarta. In his speech, President Jokowi noted a number of challenges still facing by Asian-African countries. Asian-African population, that is 75% of the total world population, are still largely poor and become victim of many conflicts. Asian-African inflation still above the world average. According to President Jokowi, improvement of cooperation in the two regions have not reflected the true potential, where Asian exports to Africa only reach 26% from Asian total export, while African exports to Asia only 3% of total African export. Indonesian President Joko Widodo criticized the world economy that only focuses on the strength of World Bank, International Monetary Fund, and Asian Development Bank. In his opening speech in the 2015 Asian-African Summit Conference on Wednesday in Jakarta, the president conveyed his view that global economic issues depend on three world financial institutions is an obsolete reflection that should be abandoned. President Jokowi urged to develop the new economic order to complete a domination of the economic strain. Before the participants from 93 countries, President Jokowi said that Indonesia is ready to cooperate with all parties to achieve these noble ideals by focusing on the struggle of Asian African leaders 60 years ago. In his 10-minute opening speech, Jokowi also invited leaders of Asian and African countries to strengthen cooperation in the field of poverty eradication, improve connectivity, and improve the stability as well as appreciation of human rights. Indonesian National Commission on Human Rights, Komnas HAM, has called for both judicial settlement and reconciliation for the country's seven major cases of human rights violation.
Komnas HAM Commissioner Khairun said that reconciliation would be the final solution. However, he hoped the ending of these cases would be abided by three main principles: statements of truth, rehabilitation guarantee, and that similar cases must not reply in the future. The notion to resolve the seven cases on human rights violation via reconciliation surfaced in a recent meeting involving the Komnas HAM, the Attorney General's Office, the Justice and Human Rights Ministry, the Coordinating Ministry for Political, Legal and Security Affairs, the National Intelligence Agency, and the National Police. Another topic discussed in the meeting is the planned formation of a joint team comprising personnel from the Komnas HAM and the Attorney General Office, which, among others, will look into the 1965 Talang Sari tragedy and the Wasir Rioting in 2003. The team will be formed after the conclusion of the 2015 Asian-African Summit. The spirit created by former of Asian and African leaders must be increased by today's leaders of two continents. Through the spirit, there will be the world's peace and people's welfare. This was stated by President Joko Widodo on his speech of the 60th commemoration of the Asian-African Conference in Bandung, West Java on Friday. Moreover, President Jokowi also said Asian-African countries must help and increase mutually the welfare of the people through cooperation. He explained that this can encourage Asian-African countries to be the same level as another advanced countries. He further said the spirit must be jointly fought for. Well, listener, that's the end of Week in Review for this week.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
Here is news in brief. I'm Dalat Pani. In discussion held at the Jakarta National University on Saturday, former Indonesian President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono said that the mental revolution initiated by President Joko Widodo is different from that believed by Marxism's followers. The 60th anniversary of the Asian-African Conference, AAC, gave Indonesia advantages starting from geopolitical until economic aspects. International relations analyst from Pajajaran University in Bandung, Teuku Rijasa, said, politically, Indonesia has proven itself as one of the few countries that are consistent in adopting the UN chapter. The Trade Ministry's Trade Defense Director, Oke Nurwan, said on Friday, Indonesia may file a complaint with the World Trade Organization over Turkey's anti-dumping measures on yuan, which have affected a number of Indonesian textiles firms. Indonesia's Attorney General's Office has notified 9 foreigners and an Indonesian convicted of drugs trafficking that their executions will be carried out within days. Spokesman Tony Spontana says that the 10 convicts were moved to isolation cells on Saturday and given a 72-hour execution notice. State-owned Enterprises Minister Rini M. Sumarno has asked regional government heads to give sanctions to traders who sell refined sugar to the consumer market, as it would harm the interests of sugarcane farmers. Amid high expectations among investors, the economic reality in Indonesia is less heartening, with analysts predicting further growth slowdown in the economy on weak consumption and underperforming investment. Well, listener, there was news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, you are still listening to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with English Bulletin Program. For feedback about the program, you can send us email to info@voi.co.id, info@voi.co.id, or english@voi.co.id, english@voi.co.id. You can also send a letter to PO Box 1157, Central Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. Listener, coming up next, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Indonesian This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Indonesian Wonder, a special program introducing Indonesia's tourism, including places of interest, culture and tradition, also Indonesian cuisine. Today, I'll take you to Seminyak Beach on Bali Island, so stay tuned. Beside via shortwave, you can also listen to this program via live streaming on www.voi.go.id. A vacation to Bali is a dream of many people in Indonesia as well as in other countries. One of the must-see tourist objects in Bali is Seminyak or Dianapura Beach, which is located on Dianapura Road in Seminyak Village, Kuta, Badung Sub-District. Seminyak is a beautiful white sandy beach with pretty big waves. It is called Seminyak because the beach is situated in Seminyak Village, hence the name, so people can easily remember the locations of the beach. The atmosphere in Seminyak Beach is not as crowded as the ever popular Kuta Beach, making it more comfortable place for a vacation. Along the beach, there are umbrellas provided for tourists who want to relax while enjoying the surroundings. While late in the afternoon, tourists can watch the natural scenery of sunset, which is really beautiful. You can also do various activities here, such as sunbathing, swimming, surfing, and playing beach sport, such as volleyball. Interestingly, all the way to Seminyak Beach, there are restaurants lining and offering a range of delicious dishes, from traditional dishes to international cuisine, from a low price to quite expensive ones. No wonder it is nicknamed the Eating Street. In addition to the row of restaurants, Seminyak Beach also offers accommodation facilities such as hotels, resorts, and villas. If you want to pump up your adrenaline, you can try bungee jumping from a tower as high as 45 meters. There is no security when jumping except for a rope which is specifically tied to your ankle. So far, Seminyak Beach is the only bungee jumping spot in Bali. There are three options to jump, namely at noon or early afternoon, then late afternoon and in the evening. If you want to be photographed while jumping, with a beautiful scenery along the coast of Kuta Lake and Seminyak as the background, you'd better do it in the daytime. Late in the afternoon, you can take pictures with a reddish sky as background, especially if jump during the sunset. Jumping at night is usually done by people who want to feel the sensations of floating in the darkness. To reach the top of the tower, a special elevator is provided. The cost of a single jump is around 500,000 rupiah or approximately around $50. The price includes taxes, insurance, t-shirt, certificates and pickup hotels in Legian, Seminyak and surrounding areas. If you choose Bali as your holiday destination, be sure to visit Seminyak Beach. From Ngurah Rai Airport, it only takes 30 minutes by car, and from Denpasar around 17 minutes because the distance is only 10 kilometers. Well, that was today's edition of Indonesian Wonder of a Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta featuring Seminyak Beach on Bali Island. I'm Di Nugraha.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
The This is RRA World Service Voice of Indonesia with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, customs and tradition, technology and environment, outstanding figures, even lifestyle. Today's editions will be discussing H.E. Rasuna Said, an Indonesian national hero. Much can be done to give homage or tribute to figures who have contributed to the society or the state. In addition to pinning honors, their names usually also immortalize as the names of streets. For example, H.R. Rasuna Said, an Indonesian national hero whose name is immortalized as the name of a major street in the capital city of Jakarta. H.R. Rasuna Said or Hajah Rangkayo Rasuna Said is an Indonesian freedom fighter, a noblewoman of Minang descent who was born on September 14, 1910. After completing primary school, Rasuna was sent by her father to continue her education in Ar-Rashidiyah Islamic Boarding School. At the time, she was already known as a female student who was clever, intelligent, and courageous. Rasuna Said then continued her education in Diniyah Putri Padang Panjang or a girls high school in Padang Panjang City. Rasuna Said was very concerned about the education and advancements of women. She once had taught at Diniyah School for Girls, but in 1930 she quit and decided to go into politics. She believed advances for women could not be obtained only by establishing schools, but must be accompanied by a political struggle as well. Rasuna then studied religion at Haji Rasul or Dr. Haji Abdul Karim Amrullah that taught the importance of renewing Islam thought and freedom of thought, which later influenced her views. Rasuna Said's political struggle started as a branch secretary of Sarekat Rakyat, or SR, or People's Organization. She then joined Sumatra Tau Walib and established Persatuan Muslim Indonesia, or PERMI, in Bukit Tinggi. Rasuna Said was very adept in her speeches denouncing the Dutch government. She was the first woman exposed to speak Dalit law, a Dutch colonial law which stated anyone can be punished for speaking out against the Netherlands or the Dutch colonial rule. She was arrested along with her friends Rasima Ismail and jailed in 1932 in Semarang. After she was out of prison, Rasuna continued her education at the Islamic College led by Kiai Haji Mukhtar Jahya and Dr. Kusuma Atmaja. Rasuna Said was also known by her sharp writings. In 1935, she became the chief editor of Raya magazine, which is a milestone in the freedom fighting in West Sumatra. But the Dutch secret police, or PID, again narrowed the space of Rasuna and friends. She then decided to move to Medan and continue to struggle there. During the Japanese occupation, Rasuna Said went back to West Sumatra and became one of the founders of Nippon Raya Youth Organization in Padang, which later was disbanded by the Japanese occupational government. After the Indonesian independence in 1945, Rasuna Said became active in the Youth Information Agency of Indonesia and the Indonesian National Committee. She became member of the House of Representatives representing West Sumatra after the proclamations of independence. Later, she was appointed a member of the Supreme Advisory Council through a presidential decree of July 5, 1959. Rasuna Said died in Jakarta on November 2, 1965. That was Miscellany today featuring H.R. Rasuna Said or H.R. Rasuna Said. I'm Dee Nugraha.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Hello, listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we'll also play some Indonesian music. Well, listener, we would like to thank you, our dear listener, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. But before answering your letters and emails, we would like to inform you that as of January 2015, you can listen to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, via streaming in two channels, namely through indonesia.rriworldservice.com for Indonesian, English, Mandarin, Japanese, Arabic, German, French, and Spanish services, and also through english.rriworldservice.com for Indonesia Today in English language. You can also listen via mobile application through your smartphone by downloading RRI Play or RRI Play for smartphone with Android or iOS. You will be able to listen to Voice of Indonesia's broadcast both on demand and also audio streaming, and also other programs of RRI local stations across Indonesia. So you can tune in our station everywhere. Or you can also listen to Voice of Indonesia program through TuneIn or RDO. Well, listen, now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Riaz Ahmad Khan in Pakistan. He was listening to our broadcast on April 9, 2015 at 1600 hours to 1700 hours UTC. The reception was very clear and the SINPO was 55555. Hello, Mr. Riaz Ahmad Khan. Thank you very much for your attention and appreciation on our broadcast. We are very glad because you always monitor our radio. Listener, as you know that Mr. Riaz Ahmad Khan is one of our regular listeners, and he is very active in listening our broadcast. Mr. Riaz Ahmad Khan, if you like traditional music such as Talempong from West Sumatra, we suggest you to listen to our program, Know Our Music, broadcast every Tuesday. In this program, we present traditional music from all regions in Indonesia. Not only the music, we also tell about how the music instrument is made. Well, Mr. Riaz Ahmad Khan, we are looking forward to you receiving your next letter or email. And special for you and also for our regular listeners, we will play a song from Changchuter's band entitled Akhirnya Indah or Finally Beautiful. Happy listening.
Kita tidak bertemu, harap jumpa di. listener, before we continue to answer emails, we would like to introduce you to one of Indonesian bands, the Changcuters Band. The Changcuters is an Indonesian rock and roll band formed in 2005 in Bandung, West Java. The current members are Tria, the vocalist, Kibil and Alda, the guitarist, Dipa, the bassist, and Eric, the drummer. They have released 4 albums, namely Mencoba Sukses or Trying to Succeed in 2006, Mencoba Sukses Kembali or Try to Succeed Again in 2008, The Changcuters dan Misteri Kalajengking Hitam or The Changcuters and Mystery of Black Scorpion in 2009, and Tugas Akhir or The Final Assignment in 2011. The album Mencoba Sukses Kembali has led the group to receive the 2009 Indonesian Music Award for the Best Newcomers. They have also played in a film entitled the Tarix Jabrix Trilogy film. Their styles are similar to the Hives and the Rolling Stones. Well, listener, that was a glimpse about one of Indonesian bands, the Changcuters Band. And before we play a song by Changcuters Band, we will reply an email from Ratan Kumar Paul in India. He was listening to our broadcast through frequency of 9525 kHz or on April the 5th, 2015 in French language. And the SINPO was 33333. Hello, Mr. Ratan Kumar Paul. Thank you for your reception report April the 5th, 2015. As your request, we will send our QSL card to your home. Well, Mr. Ratan Kumar Paul, we hope you will be satisfied to receive it. And thank you for your email. Mr. Ratan Kumar, we are looking forward to your next letter or email. Listener, now we continue to reply an email from Christian Gibadeau in France. He has sent his email dated April 20, 2015. In his email, he said that he received our letter of the 10th March. Hello, Mr. Christian Gibadeau. Thank you for your email on our broadcast. We are very glad to know that you have received our QSL card, and we hope you always keep listening to our broadcast. And also, please visit our website, www.voi.co.id, because through our website, you can find out other languages, you can listen to other languages, which are broadcast by RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. And special for you, we will play a beautiful song from Changcuters Band entitled Rindu Ortu or Miss My Parents. Let's check it out.
Problema hidup sepuluh gedung yang menjulang, hanya sawah yang membentang, hijau daun pohon rindang. Yeah. Bila malam telah menjelang, langit terang bertabur bintang, dan problema hidup seperti menghilang. Menghilang.
Listener, before we end listeners' mailbag, we would give you information on our broadcast, on our program. In 2015, English Service will still have network programs with several RRI local stations, such as with RRI Bukit Tinggi in West Sumatra every Monday, RRI Denpasar, Bali every Tuesday, RRI Ternate in North Maluku, and RRI Bandung in West Java on Wednesday, with RRI Samarinda in East Kalimantan on Thursday, and with RRI Banjarmasin in South Kalimantan every Friday. And in addition to our regular one-hour program via shortwave 9525 kHz, we also have various kinds of interesting and informative programs broadcast via streaming on english.rriworldservice.com. For example, we have Voice of the Young every Monday, we have Know Our Music every Tuesday, The Forum every Wednesday, and Book and Film Review every Thursday. We also have Meet With every Thursday, and we have Sport World on Friday. On Saturday, we have Saturday Chats, and on Sunday, we have Indonesian Women. Well, listener, unfortunately, we have to sign off. We appreciate very much your reception reports on our broadcast. Please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. I repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to info@voi.co.id, info@voi.co.id, or to english@voi.co.id, english@voi.co.id. Don't forget to visit and also like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and also Voice of Indonesia RRI World Service, or follow our Twitter @voi_indonesia. And listener, don't forget, we will have our annual quiz, Wonderful Indonesia Quiz. So keep on listening to Voice of Indonesia. Well, to conclude our segment, here is another song from Chang Tutu's band, Suka Suka. I'm Ania Sana. Thank you for listening, and we'll meet again next week in Listener's Mailbag. Bye-bye. Thank you.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.